you're hearing this before listening to the weekly show, are you sure you meant to do that? If not, stop now and go do that first.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Do you want to do an overflow?
Yeah, a little bit, sure.
So I think we could do... Toot bag! Let's start with a toot bag, why not? How do you feel about that?
Let's open up the toot bag.
Oh, so I'm just looking through Funny Junk and I'm going, this is a fucking ugly website.
A lot of those little weird aggregators are. They exist exclusively to steal other people's material for a few ad impressions.
Yeah, I mean, I'm into 9GAG. I quite enjoy that sometimes, but this is just rubbish. Yeah. Anyway.
9GAG can be funny. All those sites can be funny, but every now and then you'll come across a video which is just beyond the pale. That's just, you know, snuff. It's, you know, watching someone die in a horrible traffic accident or, you know, with some terrible disease or sickness, and I don't think that's funny. Or getting knocked out or hit by a car, all that crazy shit. It's something I've been watching this week. I can't remember why it started. Someone posted a... There's this strange practice in Russia, and that is dashboard cameras. And they do it because there is a really high prevalence of insurance fraud. So you'll have people throw themselves in front of your car. If you've got a dashboard camera, you can say, look, I was fucking stopped. Let alone, you know, was it my fault that this drunk idiot stumbled out in front of me? But what they instead capture is, indeed, some examples of those ridiculous insurance frauds, including, you know, one guy who stumbles out across the road, the car screeches to a stop and stops before it gets to this guy. So good bloody driving. And then the guy throws himself on the ground in front of the car. Driver gets out, punches the shit out of the dude. So I was like, okay, mate, look, you lost two ways. Don't ever do that again. And there are other ones, like there's one where there's a car in front of the car with the dash cam, and it's like a BMW X5, and it screeches to a halt, and he manages to stop. Once again, he manages to stop. And then the BMW puts its reverse lights on and starts backing up, and he's like, toot, 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 toot. But they back right into him. And this couple, this middle-aged couple, get out. They're very respectably dressed. He's wearing a suit, and she's like, you know, pearls and twin set. And they start looking at the thing and pointing, and the guy just stands there. And he points at the dashboard camera, and they keep climbing, and then he complaining. And he points at the dashboard camera again, and they finally look. And then the woman is basically like, oh, fuck! And they both go and get in the car and drive off.
Genius.
But what it also captures is that I thought New Zealand drivers were bad. You have not seen bad driving until you've seen Russian driving. I don't know if they're all always drunk, or if that might have been a racist thing to say. I apologize, Russians. I'm sure
it might have been an accurate thing to say too. Don't apologize too quickly.
It may have been accurate. Some of the driving that you see is just, I don't understand how it happens. Like, people not even necessarily going fast, but, like, just in parking lots and stuff. But then someone will speed up and T-bone another guy. And it's like, what? How did it happen? I've never seen anything like that. And then also, you know, high-speed motorway, sliding on ice, head-on collisions, which, you know, possibly led to someone dying.
Right.
Which is not cool.
And, you know, no. It's interesting what does survive on YouTube sometimes. It's weird. Do you know, not that I do it, but I was looking for a serial number for some software I have legitimately purchased, but can't find a serial number for it at the moment. And I couldn't find it on, you know, the places that you usually look for that sort of thing. Yeah. YouTube. They're all over YouTube.
Really?
Yes. Search for just about any software you want. There'll be a video that has some random shit in the video, and in the comment for the video, you know, in the notes for the video, it has like usually a direct download link and the serial number.
Weird.
I know. I guess it's because YouTube doesn't delete anything or something. Maybe it's better than mega upload for that sort of shit. Who knows? Hey, Morgan.
Hey, Dylan.
Do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
Why wouldn't I want to do that?
Do you have some reason for wanting people to try and look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're in some anonymous IP address in Canada, Sweden, France, England, America, Russia, or Bulgaria.
You know, actually, lately I've been finding the Netherlands to be the most useful. But yes,
it's not on the list. I didn't know that. It's not
just
on the list.
As it happens, now that you mention it, I do often find that need.
Do you just generally want to have your anonymity protected on the internet, maybe because your government has recently, actually not that recently, but a while ago, passed some kind of stupid law or whatever?
I guess.
Okay. Well, you should tell them to mind their own business while you mind yours and go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up.
That sounds really expensive.
It is. Actually, no, it's not.
I'm going there right now. You know what? I have been very happy with the VPN lately. So let me give you an example of the sort of thing. Now, there's different solutions. There's different ways to solve all of these problems. But so just recently, Falling Skies has restarted playing. Season 2 of Falling Skies, which is an alien invasion thing with Steven Spielberg's the producer. I can't remember who directs it. Noah Wiley is the lead actor, and it's cool. Now, they stream live after the broadcast time on the internet with Will Wheaton as the host, an interview with as many of the cast as they can get, and a couple of producers, and I think at least one of the directors. And they, you know, just chat to them about the show that's just been, and they show some of the scenes, and they talk about the acting process, they talk about the effects, they talk about, you know, all of that stuff. And you can only watch it if you're in the US. And guess what? Because I have signed up at discourse.co.nz/VPN, I can click down in my system tray and I can say USA, and then I can watch this thing.
That's interesting.
It is interesting, and it works beautifully. No messing around. No, I'm sure sometimes it could lead to buffering. Last night, no buffering, just smooth video, and away we go.
All right.
It's excellent. Good. It's really good. It just works so well.
That's what it sounds like.
Yep. Always works. Does everything you could possibly want, as long as what you want is essentially masking your IPs and encrypting your traffic. That's
and then shifting it offshore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean by masking. Sort of. You know,
it's not really masking because you can get things that mask your IP without really. Anyway, whatever. Hey.
Yes.
What about the tote bag then?
Let's open up the tote bag.
Let's open up the toot bag.
All right, I'll push the button again.
Let's open up the toot bag.
Don't forget to rewind the tape. It's not even a good one because our listeners don't talk to us anymore. Raj on Twitter, NZ Raj. Yes, I used a lot of self-control to not say at NZ Raj. I have a desire to always say at before a Twitter name. Give me a break. Listening to Discourse. And this is, obviously it was last week, listening to Discourse. I've had my standing desk for 2 months, loving it. Good shoes, important. Good shoes make you invincible. Now, okay, of course,
I've got another one. Sorry, carry on. About your good shoes, though.
Now, I actually mainly, and now, of course, this is the thing where my knee was sore. And actually, I think I may have turned the corner finally, and I think it's probably better now. Let me just say, a standing desk was really good. It did make my back feel strong. It didn't feel like being at the keyboard was sort of softening my body. And sitting down and being at the keyboard for as many hours a day as I usually am, it does feel like it softens my body. But it also, standing, made it feel like I couldn't quite get into the flow state that, you know, we all know and love, whether you're a developer or you're a writer or, you know, what it is that you do. Getting into that mind space, getting into the zone is really important to doing high quality work. And I felt that when I stood, it just wasn't that easy to get into that state.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I was just thinking I should have, because I recently reorganized my desk at work. My desk is an edit suite. And I moved the main viewing monitor from one side of the computer monitors to the other. And that's completely thrown off my co-workers and the producer of the show and things like that. They're upset by it. If I'd made it a standing desk at the same time, they would have exploded. They were genius. I just need to get a whole bunch of phone books.
Yeah. And the point about the shoes, it may be true. You know, shoes may have made all the difference. I actually mainly did it with bare feet, well, socks. But what I got was a big kind of a fairly thick carpet to put under my desk. So, you know, that was mushy. A lot of people have like a footrest, something that they can put their foot up on, and I never had that. And that may have been a mistake.
That's quite a good idea.
Yeah. Like, at, you know, at a bar, there's always, well, usually with old bars, definitely, yeah, there's a brass rail. And that's, you know, because you can stand more comfortably if there's something to lean on like that. And I think part of that, not having that was part of my problem, probably.
I wonder if you could have a bar stool as well. So those times where you didn't really feel like standing, you could sort of sit, kind of partly sit on a bar stool at about the same height.
I should have done that.
Yeah. So much thinking.
So much thinking that could have been done. But also,
we should have brainstormed this ahead of time. Don't know what.
Well,
happened.
Maybe. But the thing was that, you know, with my setup, I didn't have to buy anything. You know, I used stuff that was just around the house, furniture that was otherwise not being, you know, particularly useful. And, you know, so it's just, it was easy to put together. And then when I decided I didn't want to do it anymore, I could take it apart again. And it didn't cause any trouble. You know, I didn't then have a chair sitting around that I could no longer use because it was the wrong height for any of the tables in the house. So I don't know. You know, that kind of low cost of entry, I think, was pretty important with my experiment with it anyway.
Cool.
But getting I did actually consider getting a bar stool or something like that. It's hard to find a bar stool that you'd like, I tell you. There's a lot of ugly bar stools in the world.
Yeah. Bar stool.
You're a bar stool. So did you say that you had a two?
Oh, it was hilarious. What I was going to say was it's from Ben Gracewood NZ. Ben says, I'll be on Discourse at Discourse NZ tonight chatting about the new Surface. Oh, that was already happened. But I got a real one too, sort of.
Yep.
Rich Irvine, guest last week, said, thanks for having me on the show. Sorry for saying and you know every other word. I didn't notice that either.
All I noticed was me being useless.
Yeah,
More so than usual at the beginning of the show. There was, I know, it felt like there was something that we were trying to get going with kind of awkward silences being funny, but it just never quite worked. And then it was like, no, I'm not talking. And
always rehearse.
I don't know about that.
We'll get together like an hour earlier and do rehearsals.
Just run through the show from start to finish.
Run through the show start to finish. It'll be great.
You know, it would actually make the show much better.
No, it wouldn't, because after that we would really not want to do it.
And we could say, as I mentioned to you before, and it wouldn't
happen. Remember what we were talking about, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. No, we haven't done that. This is the real show now. You're talking about something that happened.
It could be like The Overflow. We could release the show, and then we could release like the rehearsal for all the preamble that you need to listen to understand everything that was in the show.
We could.
Genius. Yeah. We're reinventing podcasting.
So someone in the chat room who can remain nameless because it's the same person that I virtually always talk about from the chat room has suggested Vibram Five Fingers and says that he's had them for about a month and a bit and they're comfortable nice. I believe that these Five Fingers probably are very comfortable and nice, but they're also a little bit, you know.
Oh, God, do you think he wears them out of the house? Because they creep me out when I see people wearing them.
Oh, my God. Everyone in the chat room has these same friggin' Five Fingers shoes. I am definitely no longer going to say anything bad about Vibram Five Fingers. You know, I did experiment with the whole barefoot thing, but it hurt. It actually hurt. You've got to kind of – I guess the point of the Five Fingers is that you can sort of do barefoot stuff without actually having bare feet. So you save yourself from broken glass and just the texture of even a relatively smooth footpath in New Zealand is quite rough. Just walking home from work, as I experimented with bare feet, it was actually quite painful. Surprisingly painful.
Yeah, there certainly can be some bits that are not nice on your feet. Yeah. God, they're just looking at the photos, they just freak me out. Yeah. It's just something immensely creepy about them.
They look like monkey fingers.
Yeah. I mean, part of me wants to wear them, wants to buy some so I can wear them to the work and freak out people at work with them.
Yeah.
But not enough part of, that part of me is not my wallet. So, you know.
So there's a photo in this article from birthdayshoes.com. birthdayshoes.com/vibram-five-fingers-kso-trek-review, which is a wonderful URL. Congratulations. Thank you, birthdayshoes.com. There's a photo in it showing the performance of the shoes, which features the incredibly challenging task of walking across a creek, which I've always found was easy enough to do in normal shoes.
You don't know how slippery those rocks were and whether he really needed to grab on with his toes. You don't know.
That's true. Can you actually grab on with your toes wearing these?
I guess you must be able to bend them slightly. Otherwise, what the hell's the point?
Yeah.
In big letters, though, the KSO trick is not waterproof, and water will seep into the toe pockets at the seams.
$125 US for these little shoes.
Right.
They're very light. They're very small. And they're not as bad as they used to be, because once upon a time, I think they used to have quite bright colours that made them more obvious. Now it just looks like, leather.
It's interesting. This whole website seems to be very, very devoted to five-finger footwear.
Right.
In fact, they seem to have even posted an ebook called The Beginner's Guide to Five Fingers.
This stuff, this barefoot stuff, is a cult.
Yes.
I think there's probably something to the criticism of...
Oh, birthday shoes.
Like birthday suit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite
clear. Sorry.
Yeah, it's quite
clear. You just heard me click.
Right. Yeah, I did. Right. It's something spun up. I wonder if I've got a sound effect for something spinning up.
No, I bet you don't. And I bet you what you'll do instead is find a whole bunch of sound effects that'll just derail the show and end it prematurely. Do you want to do that, Morgan?
I kind of do. Is that you spinning up?
No, that's a steam engine.
Is that you spinning up?
No, that's a flatulent robot.
Is this you spinning up?
That's me spinning down. Oh my god.
All right, no, fair enough. I think a lot of these things are cults. These get everyone else to get into this thing that's a little bit weird, so you seem a bit less weird.
Yeah, there's some interesting crossovers. Melanie and I always imagine, you see people on paddle boards, stand up paddle boards.
Yeah.
We always imagine them to be like the fixie of the sea. Yeah. You expect to see people wearing them
with big moustaches.
With big moustaches and skinny jeans.
Yeah.
And some sort of hat.
It seems like a really bad idea. Doesn't it seem like a bad idea? I mean, why? What is the advantage of standing up out there?
I don't know. My cousin is hugely into it, and I think might even run a shop and a school and stuff about it. I could ask him, but I just don't care. But there's a shop opened on Hurstmere Road in Takapuna now. It's big. And it's entirely devoted to pants paddleboarding. You can rent them from there, and you can buy them from there. They're very expensive.
I don't know if they have a bike rack to
chain your fixie to while you're shopping. I don't know.
I feel like you'd be better off with a kayak.
Yeah, I would agree.
Can you fish off a stand up whatever?
I guess if you're patient enough, you might be able to. I don't know how you'd carry your fishing rod out there. You maybe just balance it in the middle while you paddle out. I don't know. I used to watch people doing it at Takapuna Beach when I lived there, but
I've just been criticised in a Skype comment, so I'm adding Tom Isaacson.
I bet it would work really well with the five-finger shoes on.
Tom, I don't feel like I've been preaching about the stand-up desks.
It seems like a weird thing.
I agree that it seems like a weird thing. I completely agree. But it was quite comfortable. It did, I think, hurt my work. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm being unreasonably preachy about it.
Can we rank the weirdness? Stand up desk, five finger toe shoes, and paddle boarding. from weirdest to least weird.
I think that five finger toe shoes are weirdest. I think paddle boarding is a flash in the pan sport, which is just going to go away again. And it's not particularly weird, but it's sort of impractical and silly. It's like unicycling.
Unicycling is awesome. It's the future of transport.
Unicycling is ridiculous. It makes no sense. Gear ratios. and I think stand-up desks are a bit weird, but, they have their place. So I put them in that order. Stand-up desks are the least weird.
That's exactly what some sort of stand-up desk Nazi would say.
Oh, my God. Have we gone all Godwin?
It's happened.
I wonder if I've got any...
A word all of a sudden.
Do you think I've got any Nazi sound effects?
The Nazi sound effects. Let's go there.
Strangely enough, if I search for Nazi, I find nothing. Maybe I can get the sound of a shower. Oh, God, I can't believe I just said that. I'm very sorry. I apologize.
Oh, my God. God's self-help.
There, that's the approval rating. That was the approval rating on my terrible shower joke. I apologize. I apologize. I'm not a denier.
I think I like the idea of a stand-up desk, but that's where it ends.
Now, there was a famous user of there were several famous users of stand-up desks.
And one of them is an editor.
Really?
Is that what you're going to come up with?
No, definitely not. Donald Rumsfeld.
All right, Walter
evil old Rummy.
Right.
He's a stand-up disc user, long time.
That's not really a pro, is it?
No, it's not. Because, I mean, he was standing at his desk designing evil schemes of world domination and, you know, death and destruction of, you know, sovereign foreign nations for the sake
Maybe
of...
Maybe if he'd sat down, he'd have been able to relax a bit more.
That might be true.
I wonder Walter if there's... Murch edits while he stands while he's editing. So there you go, that's a thing.
Who's Walter Murch?
Famous editor, stuff. I don't know. He's famous for stuff.
Speaking of editing.
If you're an editor, you know those things, and you probably know what he's famous for. I don't because I'm shit at this sort of thing.
Walter Murch.
Walter Murch.
Well, Walter Murch is on IMDb, so, you know, you could have very easily just done a very quick Google.
I'm looking it up. There you go, Apocalypse Now. He also does the thing that's... So he's a famous editor, but he also does the sound design on most of the films he edits.
Right.
Which is kind of unique.
Ghost. The Godfather Part 3.
Yeah.
He's made some shit movies.
Apocalypse Now. Anyway, whatever. Cold Mountain, I think he won an Oscar for that one.
Right. Jarhead, that was quite good. I never watched Cold Mountain.
The conversation.
So has everyone seen Prometheus? Can we safely talk about Prometheus? I don't think I think it's too soon. I think it's too soon. I think we can't talk about it. I'd really like to talk about Prometheus.
Don't want to.
It's beautifully made. I think that the problem with Prometheus is that it was written by a fucking Muppet. I think that's the problem. Without talking about any spoilers in particular.
Well, actually, I've seen some of the interviews with him and stuff, and I'm interested to see if there's going to be like a director's cut with some extra footage in there.
There would have to be.
He said there's going to be like a 20 minutes of missing stuff in there.
That might be enough.
I think he did have a concept in mind, and then it sort of got stripped down.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a really interesting article that somebody wrote about how can I... It's not really a spoiler. It's just it brings Jesus into it.
Yeah.
But in a really interesting way.
Right.
Oh, my God. Spoiler alert.
No, well,
Is this a spoiler about a thing that's not actually in the movie? That doesn't count as a spoiler, does it?
So it was referred to in an interview.
Right.
So it was actually part of the movie and it got stripped out.
Right.
But you can still see references to it. And there's a very good blog post by this guy who talks about this. But if you haven't seen the movie, then don't read it because it's way too detailed.
Yeah,
there's a thing I saw about was that even Roger Ebert has to deal with creationists. That's what I was talking about. Roger Ebert wrote a thing saying one of his creationist friends recently questioned my enthusiasm for Ridley Scott's new film Prometheus. He tweeted, "Saw Prometheus, tickled that secularists are okay with panspermia, aliens' concept of origin of life, but disdain intelligent design." Which is, there's a whole little thing about that, which is
it's not contradictory.
No, which was sort of his argument. Yeah, but I was interested. That's the things I've read about Prometheus. I haven't seen it. The things I've read about it are very tangential.
I thought that Shaw, the lead female character, was terrible. But I haven't seen her in anything else. Now that it was Naomi Rapace, I think is her name. From she was the real girl with the dragon tattoo in the originals.
Oh yes, yeah, saw those somewhere.
And she's widely considered to have been pretty good in that. I've only seen
very good.
I've only seen the Western version, and I am madly in love with that character. And I'm afraid to watch the originals now. I thought that she came across as being insane right from the beginning to me. And a lot of the characters, without talking about anything that happened, a lot of them just seemed to make consistently bad decisions.
What about that bit when that guy died?
I know exactly what you mean. And it was that was quite a moment. I really enjoyed it.
Yep.
The bit that drove my girlfriend up the wall was that in her childhood flashback, she's speaking English with her English father.
Yeah.
But in the present time, she has a foreign accent.
I know. And they'll quote. I logged it up. And there are quotes about how she spent a bunch of time with dialect coaches to perfect her British accent. And I'm like, she never sounded British at any point. At the end, she very briefly sounds Irish. The rest of the time, she sounds like she's one of those mad Northern Europeans. Like a run, Lola, run kind of mad. And it's like, she never sounds English. Never.
Yes, but she probably does to Americans.
They have no idea what they're listening to, do they?
Yeah.
They need the Queen subtitle. So it's like, guys.
God, they probably do. That'd be... I wonder if they did subtitle the Queen's speech from her Golden Jubilee thing.
All right, let's wrap this up, eh? Because we can talk about. No, we've already mentioned it.
Oh, what is it?
Falling Skies. What's your aunt been talking about? If you watched the first season, then you probably already know that Falling Skies is back on. Basically, it starts off exactly where it finished and continues in exactly
that's
the same vein.
That's often how these things happen across different seasons.
I know, it's weird. Oh, there's a new show. We can talk about it maybe a little bit more next week. This is something that people will like if they like slow stories. And I don't mean slow in a bad way. I mean, you know, they just unwrap and there's an excellent lead. And this is a show called Longmire. And he's a sheriff and I don't even know what state. I'm going to look it up now. It's got Katie Sackhoff, who was Starbuck in the new Battlestar Galactica and has been in various other things since as well. The lead is a guy who, he's got a really familiar face, but I don't know who he is. And that is Robert Taylor. I don't know where he's from.
Did you see Siege on TV here the other day?
Siege.
New Zealand tele feature about... Jan Mullen.
No, I didn't watch it.
I haven't seen it yet, but I saw a little bit of it. It looks like it did very well. It got very positive Twitter discussion thing happening. I don't know if there's any way to actually watch it. I suppose it'll be on TVNZ on demand, so you could watch it there, and then maybe they'll release a DVD or something. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, these sort of things tend to go very much under the radar. You make them and then they're vanished and you can't find them again later, which is frustrating.
Yeah.
We make good stuff in New Zealand, but we never really see it again afterwards.
I've heard that there's another new show called Golden. Have you heard anything about this?
I may have.
Lol.
Ha ha.
Was that Siege is on TVNZ on demand?
I would say so.
All right, let me see if I can
find it. I have no reason to believe that it won't be. There is a show someone mentioned on, my auntie hasn't been talking about it, but some dude on Twitter was.
Yeah.
Called Chicago Code.
I haven't heard of that.
Cop show. Don't really know anything about it. Someone said they really liked it. Seems to have an all right Twitter rating.
I am a little bit embarrassed.
IMDb rating. There's no such thing as a Twitter rating.
I'm embarrassed to. Oh, the Katie Sackhoff show is Longmire. Now, let me tell you a little bit more about it because I said nothing about it. He's a sheriff in Wyoming. And I guess, is Longmire the town? No, Longmire's the guy. The town? I don't know. It's called something. It's not even a town. It's a county. He's a sheriff, obviously. But it directly abuts Indian Territory, which has their own police force. And his little sheriff's office is, you know, poorly funded and the Indian force is well funded. But that's not really important yet. But there's crime kind of across the border. And, yeah, I like it. You know, it's sort of like...
Stuff.
Show called with
Magnum PI.
Oh God, damn it! The route that I'm going to have to take, Timothy Oliphant's show.
No, I can't remember either. Are you sure it's not Top Chef?
Oh my God, what is wrong with me? Justified? God damn it, Justified. But it's not exactly like that. There is gunplay, but there's less gunplay. It's a bit kind of more real than Justified.
Right.
Justified, very good.
Justified either, I don't think.
This show, Longmire. Oh, Justified's Justified's great. But it still has a little bit of that cleanness sometimes. A little bit of the cleanness that I have a problem with in shows. A little bit of that, like, oh, God damn it, I'm going to fail to name another show. Longmire, though, it doesn't have any of that kind of cleanness. It feels right. Just real. It feels authentic. And it's that authenticity that I'm talking about lacking when I talk about a show feeling too clean. I want to talk about a show feeling a bit cheesy. This show doesn't feel cheesy, even though Katie Sackhoff, you know, you see her face and you think, well, that's that actress. The guy, you don't think that. You think, I recognize you from somewhere, but as far as I know, you're the sheriff. That's as far as I know. So I buy into you being the sheriff. Anyway, it's a good show, Longmire. Try it out. It's only been a few episodes.
Right.
You might not like
Golden.
It.
Golden. I'll tell you about Golden.
Yep.
New Zealand comedy show. 60 episodes. Quite good. I worked on it. I'll own up to it.
Yeah.
Post production supervisor and colorist on that show. I made it colorful.
Well done.
Yeah. Good.
I just went to TVNZ on demand and found Siege available for free for our New Zealand listeners. You don't even need a VPN to get in beautiful. Streaming high quality. I don't even know what bitrate you can get it at. 1.5 megabits, I think, is their good one now, though, which is great.
Yeah, it'd be pretty good quality.
Very clean. It comes. It's lovely. TVNZ on demand. I just wish we could get even more stuff on it and a little bit faster.
But, I'd really like to be able to get whole episodes to watch on my normal viewing environment thing.
Apple TV working with TVNZ on demand would be pretty great.
Yeah.
Golden.
An XBMC plugin that kind of works sometimes, maybe.
Yeah. Golden.
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 It's got Joel Tobik in it, who I think is one of New Zealand's best Joel comedic Tobik. Actors. Actually, it must have been quite weird for people who watched the first episode of Golden on Sunday and then switched over to see Siege, where Joel Tobik is the superintendent in charge of the the police in Napier.
Yeah, we have a small pool.
Yeah, although there is a small pool, and you watch them and you go, hang on, that's that guy from Shortland Street, and that's that other guy from Shortland Street.
Can you not say that's that guy from Shortland Street about every single New Zealand actor?
Well, almost, but that's that guy from Shortland Street, and that's that guy from Outrageous Fortune, and that's that chick from Shortland Street, and that's Geraldine Brophy. What's she doing there? And that, but they all do a bloody good job. Oh, and that's and that's Lionel. What's his name? Lionel. In there?
That guy from Shortland Street. Lee.
That guy from Shortland Street, but he's Lionel.
He's transcended Shortland Street by being one of those Shortland Street characters that is not merely from Shortland Street, but is so Shortland Street.
But there was no sign of. I didn't see Chris Warner there anywhere in the bit that I saw. But regardless, it looked very good. Yeah. So the stuff that I saw looked very impressive. I look forward to watching it at some point.
Now, unfortunately, I haven't watched it. I'm sorry to say, I feel like a traitor. Someone said something about Golden that was critical, and so I'd like to find that and just see if you can respond to it. Because usually that's my job, you know, coming up with the unnecessary criticism. Let's see if it's even there. We go, Craig Runapier from the election show. God,
yes,
that was such a good show. We've got to do that again. That was so good. Serious non-mantrol question/lazyweb research. Is there something hilarious about Golden I just don't get as a bloke?
I don't know. I think I have the advantage of having seen the whole series already.
Yeah.
And I think the challenge you have on a half-hour episode, and especially in a small run series like only 6 episodes, is you have to, in the first episode, you have to establish the tone of the show and the characters and things. So I think the first episode's probably flatter than the rest, but certainly plenty of people I saw on the internet seem to enjoy it, and I think it rated fairly well. As a whole, having seen the whole thing, I think it's really funny and in some places downright freaking hilarious.
All right, what the hell do I know? So Craig has said a couple of other things about Golden.
All right.
A modest proposal for the creators behind Golden. Fat gags are not intrinsically hilarious. That's the end of that. FYI, anyone who thinks I'm harshing on Golden, I expect better because there's real talent here and a lot of potential in the premise. So there you go.
I guess. I think fat gags is interesting.
He didn't criticize the colouring, which is good.
No one did. everyone liked the colouring. I think...
The colour again. You hardly even went outside the lines when you graded it.
Not at all. Again, it's tricky because, you know, I'm not the creator of the show and I have nothing more to do with it than having made it hopefully look pretty.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of hard to avoid fat jokes in a show that is essentially about a former Olympic athlete who's now fat.
Yeah.
But, you know, sure. I don't think it dwells on that much. I certainly think it moves past that. But it's hard to judge a show like that on one episode, I think. Keep watching it. I think it gets better in awesomeness.
I say, with New Zealand stuff, keep watching it, even if it doesn't get better, because we got to fucking suffer through the bad stuff in order to get good enough at making stuff that we can make good stuff.
Yeah, actually, Hounds is the other one. I haven't seen Hounds. But
I've heard really good things about that as well. But that's made by Download, right? And those guys are ridiculously talented.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Motherfuckers. Are they in the 48 Hours Grand Final?
Don't know. Can't remember. Didn't pay that much attention.
No, me neither. As soon as I was out, I was like, don't give a shit. Fuck you guys.
I do care. I was just busy today. I didn't really get a good chance to look. Hang on. I'll tell you quickly. I'm going to look. Here we go. It's not that quick because...
Yes, they fucking are for Seed. They got End of the World.
Did you see it? Did you go? You didn't go to the final, did you?
But no, I couldn't make it. I was out of Auckland and I'm gutted about it.
Very good.
Yeah. So have you seen The Girl with the Clover Tattoo as well then?
The Girl with the
Lens Flare one?
I have. That was also very good. Those two would easily be my favourites from the final. From the Auckland final anyway.
God, I'd love it if Auckland won again.
Seems likely we're better than everyone else.
We are better than everyone else. Except Wellington.
The Girl with the Clover Tattoo was a fantastically well executed...
It's one shot, right?
One shot. It did what I would have liked to do if I'd got one shot, and that was break the real-time boundary. In that, when you've got a one-shot film, you immediately think, you know, real-time, 6-7 minute film, whatever.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. Yeah. They jumped back and forth in time.
Right.
Really effectively.
Back and forth in time in a single take?
In a single take.
Wow.
Fantastic. Fantastic choreography, fantastic technical achievement and how they've made it. It's really, really good. The story's simple and entertaining, but the way they imagined and executed it is fantastic. So there you go.
Where can you see this stuff?
That you can't see anywhere just yet because the New Zealand Grand National Final for 48 Hours will screen in Auckland at the Civic on June 30th. And before then, all the finalists are embargoed from public display. So you'll have to wait till after that and then they'll turn up on, you know, YouTube and Vimeo and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But until then, you have to wait and then you have to buy tickets and go and sit in the mighty, mighty Civic and watch it on the big, big screen.
There is an unbelievable amount of shit that comes out of 48 Hours, but there are also, every year, not even just a handful, but a bunch of fucking great shorts and a couple of, I'm going to say transcendent again for the second time in the show, and I just mispronounced it slightly. I just mispronounced it a second different way.
Are you going to say it a second time or are you just going
to third time? No, I'm just not even going to have another shot.
Okay.
There are, as always, one or two that just, you say, how did you write, shoot, edit, and deliver that inside 48 hours? You guys have too much talent.
The one that the thing that gets me when I see those ones, it's not even the how did you write, direct, shoot, and edit it. It's how did you come up with that fantastic idea?
Yeah,
that's the one. That's the thing that confuses me the most. You see these ones, you're like, fuck, that was good thinking right there. That's really you know, you've busted out of the box and come up with a.
Discarding the loser ideas, it's really hard. In that amount of time, it's really hard. If you had, you know, a week to think about your idea, everyone would have a great idea. Because ideas...
I don't think so.
Well, everyone would have a better idea. Well, okay, you're right. There are a lot of teams who would be shit no matter how much time they took. And if they had more time, they just wouldn't deliver at all. But there would be... Ideas are quite easy, I think. It's just having ideas under pressure is a bit tricky.
Well, and knowing which ones not to pursue is the harder thing.
Like when we made Love and War. Oh, no, All's Fair.
Yeah.
God, what a terrible idea.
Oh, whatever. But I think I still so much of 48 Hours for me comes down to the fact that you have to make a decision. I still think people come up with better ideas than they probably would otherwise because they are forced into it.
Yeah.
I mean, not all of them, obviously. Some of them come up with really good ideas all the time. But I think that the forced nature of it makes people settle on good ideas because I still think that the longer you spend on a single idea or concept, the more likely you are to completely cock it up by overthinking it.
It's It's perhaps not surprising. This is one thing I find slightly disappointing, but also it's excellent. And you know, and on the other hand, there's a handful of teams that just come up again and again and again because they are so consistently good. And that's Lens Flare, Down Low, Del Sur. They seem to come up a lot. Goodfellas, when yep. they bloody get it in. Mark Putty. Mark Putty are pretty great. Although, you know, animation, I think in some ways animation is easier. You don't need to go anywhere.
I mean, for them it is because it's what they do all the time. But I mean, it's still a hell of a challenge. But certainly it's not.
I think it's less of a challenge. I think
it's not. Well, it's not as difficult for them to. It's a hell of a challenge in terms of actually doing it all.
Yeah.
But for them, it's not a challenge in terms of it's something they are really intimately familiar with.
No grand finalists from Dunedin this year.
Oh, I bet the Dunedinites are screaming.
If they're screaming or not, all they have to do is make good shorts and they'll be in the finals. That's it. It's the only way to get in. You don't get in because you're from a city. You get in because you make a good short. And in fact,
yeah, that's just a bit.
And merely making a good short isn't even necessarily enough. You've got to make a great short to get in the grand finals.
Well, you've got to make a good short that's better than the other good shorts.
That's right.
Which
anyway,
is impossible to judge beforehand.
Let's roll this baby up. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
There is probably not really even anything that we have talked about that we needed to talk about, so that's fine.
All right, then.
I just wanted to... you were talking about new TV shows.
Yep.
I was on a 12-hour flight yesterday, which was jolly exciting.
Ouch.
But you know how sometimes they have those new shows for you to watch on the entertainment system?
Yep.
And there was this show called House of Lies.
Oh, I love House of Lies.
Yeah, I only watched the pilot, but it's one of those shows I think it could go somewhere, definitely.
It does. The finale is even better than the pilot.
Okay. I discovered,
don't give it away.
I'm not going to. I won't say a word.
How to Make It in America that way on an in-flight entertainment thing.
Yeah.
Another reasonably good show.
Yeah, you do get to, because it's, you know, you get pick up shows that you don't get to see in New Zealand for another year and a half or something, if at all. But House of Lies look really interesting and appear to have lots of sex in as well. So.
Oh, so much sex. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out if we've ever mentioned House of Lies.
I don't remember it, but that doesn't mean anything. I immediately block all memory of this show after we record it.
Where's my website?
I'm not familiar with any website. What are you talking about?
Well, just to give Dylan the quick precy, it's basically about a group of management consultants who go into companies and advise them about things. But of course, they're all arseholes, basically. And they end up advising arseholes on how to do arsehole things.
Sounds like a fairly promising concept.
And the lead is played by Don Cheadle, who's really good.
He's so good. His whole team is good. And I don't actually think there are any bad performances in the whole season.
Did it live on? Is it coming back again, or is it one of those one-shot wonders?
No, I think they're making a season two.
Right, because there's a lot of that in American television.
As far as I can tell, we've never mentioned it on the show. I cannot believe this... lack of insight. Maybe did it come up during the self-imposed exile?
Oh my God, it's got Kristen Bell in it. Why didn't you tell me this sooner?
Excellently well brought up, House of Lies. It's a great show.
You win the show.
Yeah, you pretty much win the show.
Well, like this also liked New Girl, Suburgatory, Whitney, Free Agents, Up All Night, and Breaking In.
Listen, I haven't seen all of those, but I would say from what I know about the few of those that I have seen, it is nothing like any of those. It is so much better than any of those.
Lost Girl and Suburgatory, it really doesn't fit with either of those. But
I think the gist of it is people who like television like other television shows.
Right.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think IMDb's people who like thing really works in on this. Because they also have Are You There, Chelsea, and... Two Broke Girls and whatever the fuck that is.
That shit is shit.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Thank you so much for listening. I think it is time that we wrap this baby up, because I think that we may have actually had, well, maybe a 45-minute overflow, and that's much longer than we go now.
Much.
Much longer. Normally we go zero, actually, in the overflow. It's been great having you on, Tom, and even just simply for the mention...
Oh, before you go, Tom, did you hear the Urban Dictionary Word of the Week?
No.
Oh, disappointing. I wanted to get your feedback on whether or not we should continue again.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's currently 20 past five in the morning, and I'm very jet-lagged, and I suddenly realised that you guys were on, and I thought, well, that's better than trying to sleep, so...
Well, good to talk to you. Hard nap.
Oh. I'm very sympathetic of the sleepiness.
Actually, look for Ben.
There's nowhere around. I'm in a sort of hotel, which is in the middle of nowhere. So
in LA?
No, in Texas.
Oh, damn. I was going to say, you could go out and look for Ben. He was standing on a street corner in LA the last time we talked to him.
Really?
Maybe. No.
What they've got in Texas is barbecue. Yep.
Yes.
And Tex-Mex.
But not at this hotel.
Oh. Do both those things.
Gosh, it.
Good luck.
I'm looking up. Next week I'm in Mexico, so I'm really looking forward to the food.
And having horrible explosive intestinal distress.
And well, that's luck,
fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
With luck, you'll come back with both kidneys.
You only need one, though, really.
I know, but if they're going to take one, they'll probably take them both. Yeah. So,
All right.
Sure you keep plenty of ice near your bathtub.
Fish and chips. Actually, I guess I need to play the thing. Fish and chips. I need to find it. Keep talking. Ignore me.
There's not really much more to do.
Fish. How about that?
Yeah. Fish.
Fish and chips.
Sorry,
and chaps.
This show is cancelled. Beep.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.